Making Waves with Steve Byquist and Dennis Rom. Today's program is sponsored by Campbell's Resort at Lake Chelan and by Chelan Realty. Making Waves is a production of LakeChelanNow.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this edition number 12, Steve, of
Making Waves ahead of the 4th of July.
Already a dozen. Baker's Dozen coming up next week. What do you think?
What are you talking about?
It's gone by so quickly. It's a fun time of the year here, summer in the Lake Chelan Valley, Steve. And, of course, we want to wish everybody a happy 4th of July because that is coming up. Midweek this year, going to be interesting. And, of course, a lot of the discussion we're going to have today on our program is going to center around not only fireworks, but fire danger in general and things that are going on in our communities. We live in an area of wildland fires, and it's just part of who we are and what we live with here. And there's a lot of effort and time that's put in by a lot of great people to make sure that they control it as much as possible.
And we'll be talking with Arnold Baker, chief of the fire district in Manson, Fire District 5, on our edition of Making Waves ahead of the 4th of July. Chelan Market's a hot one, we know that, and it's very evident by folks coming and going often. Chelan Realty here has been here for, pushing a century. They need more listings at this point in time to sell. I mean, the market's hot. Things are moving along for them. And the experienced team at Chelan Realty, they're committed to meeting and exceeding the needs of the clients out there. So they're willing to help you out aggressively listing the home in places where the buyers are looking so you get the best return. Chelan Realty, nonetheless, you should call them and get a free market analysis. If you've been thinking about doing something with the place, time would be now. Chelan Realty, 682-4014, their number, or online, chelanrealty.com, of course.
And before we go any further, I want to take just a moment to thank one of our fine sponsors, Campbell's Resort at Lake Chelan, and remind you about their weekly events taking place in the pub and the veranda. And take a look at some of these things. Thursday night, seasonally inspired fresh sheet menu happens at the pub and the veranda. On Fridays, live music, fresh crab specials, prime rib specials, fresh shucked oysters. Pretty tough to beat. Monday, they've got you covered, $5 Manhattans, $5 martinis, $5 mushrooms. And on Tuesdays, Tuesdays and tacos, and Tuesdays with tacos and tequila. They have weekly taco, tequila, margarita, and Corona specials. It all happens at Campbell's Resort at Lake Chelan. Check them out online at campbellsresort.com. You know, you mentioned we are going to be having conversation at length with Arnold Baker here in just a moment. Before we do that, Steve, I want to mention a couple of weeks ago, we had Jason Moran on the program from Manson, a Manson Chamber board member, chairing up the fundraising efforts for their Stars and Stripes auction, which is a major fundraising event. And boy, did they ever come through.
$15,000 in the area of $15,000 garnered through that event, which will help fund the dynamite display that we'll be seeing here on the 4th and provide a little bit of seed money going forward. But phenomenal results, and got to say thank you.
Yeah, from everything that we heard, they had an outstanding time with that auction. I want to thank Norm Manley out there in Manson, who submitted a very nice article and some photos to Lake Chelan Now. You can look for that story on our website if you haven't had a chance to see it, but they did an outstanding job with the auction. Also, they have a number of major sponsorship people that have come through. Town Toyota Center, I know, the Manson Chamber, the Lake Chelan Chamber of Commerce, Hard Rodeo Winery. I'm probably going to be leaving somebody off, and I should never step into those kinds of things, but a lot of people stepped up monetarily to help fund the event, and it's a pretty cool thing because it's going to be, as they told us, as Jason did a couple of weeks ago, Steve, the biggest Manson fireworks show ever.
We've heard that before, and there's no doubt this time around the way the community's been supporting it and the way the auction went, those kind of, yeah, it should be just dynamite.
Yes, indeed.
Don't go anywhere. Dennis and Steve will be making more waves in just a moment.
And we welcome you back here to Making Waves on LakeChelanNow.com. Dennis Rom, Steve Byquist, and special guests coming up as we promised in just a moment. Right now, I want to thank one of our brand new sponsors here on the program, Chelan County PUD. And I want to remind you that The PUD welcomes you to enjoy 700 acres of green in their 15 parks located on Lake Chelan and the Columbia Rivers. You can make sure to check out water conditions as well before you leave the shore. Get the water temps and levels by following the link on LakeChelanNows.com homepage. Just look for it there. You'll see it right at the front to the right. Chelan County PUD welcoming them aboard today. Steve, we mentioned Happy 4th of July. All that good stuff's coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun, but it also goes with it, as we know, a lot of things to do with fire.
And we have Fire Chief Arnold Baker with us of the Manson Fire District. And Arnold's been with the fire department well over 20 years. How long have you been with the department and how long, Chief?
Well, I've been a chief for over 20 years, been with the department 32 years.
A while. We've seen it all. In fact, we've seen fire threatening Manson more than once. We've seen all sorts of things. But this 4th of July, things have changed when it comes to the use of personal fireworks, personal displays, and those kinds of things, in that we don't have as much checkerboard control here, there, and the next place. What's allowed, what's not?
Well, is common fireworks are not. So that's kind of, we've had to take away fireworks just because there were fireworks abused in the past. And so we went to the commissioners a couple years ago. So this was codified last year, and we had a lot of success last year. We ended up with a lot of people coming in with tribal fireworks and using the, if it flies, and those causing some risks. So took it to the commissioners, and they just took out all fireworks. That kind of gives us something to work with. So the only thing allowed is the public licensed show.
The public licensed show this year is going to be substantially bigger, although maybe not as long, but more of a display. Certainly the auction of late raised over $15,000 to help fund the whole thing. I know that you're involved in that. There's some inspection and those kinds of things, but it sounds like it's going to be a dynamite evening.
All the citizens, if we would donate to the public show, then we can have a great show and celebrate 4th of July together instead of all the little private shows that are causing risks to homeowners. And so there's the, we want to take that risk away, because it's unreasonable and it gets abused very frequently, and the community deserves a safe display.
You inspect the fireworks display, though. That's part of your gig, right?
Correct, and the county fire marshal. And so we have a county fire marshal as of a year ago, and he and I both will inspect that display.
On a barge again.
Correct. And so we love that the display is surrounded by water. Again, a safe location and a professional company to do the show.
The Manson Fire Department has traditionally used the fireworks display as the people coming into Manson as a way to raise some funding for various causes. I'm sure that's the same this year.
Manson Fire Department will be there doing a boot drive coming into town. And actually that ends up being, we split that 50-50 with the fireworks show. So the 50 for the fireworks, that ends up probably being seed money for next year's because you need money to start the program. And so 50% of it goes there. The other half of it for the association is our Season of Hope project for the Manson Firefighters Association. And that is Season of Hope, feeding the hungry people of Manson. So that's our December, January project, finding people who are in need. And so that's what the other half of it goes to.
Some exciting news for the fire district in that been able to purchase some property adjacent to the fire station, 5-2, that's out on Wapato Lake Road, with an eye towards some expansion in that area. Probably early on to talk about architecture and those kinds of things, but what's envisioned?
Well, we have a 5,000 square foot station, and we started staffing that with a contract with hospital in 2010. We didn't have a certificate of occupancy in there, but the county fire marshal back then says, I like what you're doing. You're going the right way. You've got enough safety things. I can't give you a certificate. So you have a temporary occupancy. Just don't let temporary become permanent. And it's taken 8 years to finally kind of be able to get to this step. So first thing we want to do is put some living quarters. Now, there's so two people on shift all the time. Most of the positions are hospital, and the fire district does contract into that, and we put some people in there also. And So we want to have safe living conditions for our staff there. But I also want to do a residency program. And residency is taking some of the young people in the community. And let's face it, this community is kind of difficult to find rentals in for young folks. And so here's an opportunity to have a room, and pay for that room is do some volunteering, do some work for the fire district, take some shifts. And so this is a win-win for the citizens and for that firefighter that's kind of taking a look at a career and getting some experience. So
we found it unique, and we talked about this years ago, in that the fire district's contracted with the hospital to house some people in a building that you're not supposed to house people in. And the county, in essence, kind of said, well, yeah, okay, you can for a while, but work towards something permanent. It's taken a while.
But at least we're getting there. And, you know, we had to do a lot of modifications in there, but the expensive modifications is number one, air separation from apparatus bays. And so it was really, really difficult to be able to do that in that station. And so that was kind of one of the major things. And the other was to put in a sprinkler system in the whole station. And that was kind of, that's also costly to come in retro. So knowing our risks, we put in alarm system, we put in egress routes, we put in secondary egress, and we took care of as much of it. And the county fire marshal said, okay, you've done the right thing, just don't let that limit you and become permanent. So we're finally able to take that step. So this step now, having property, is probably the first of the year, is to get an architect and kind of do a master plan for that property. So we had 1.2 acres and we just purchased 2.3, so there's 3.5 acres. It gives us enough room so that we can put some expand the station. We can put residential quarters. We can put a training center on that, and so that we can have some a training property. So then we can take a look, master plan this thing, and then we can do all of these things in different phases as cash allows. And so it just gives opportunity to expand when we can afford it.
It would be nice to be able to have, in case of another fire where the type 1 team, two, type 2, 1, 2, 3 team has to be brought in from elsewhere. Only two of those teams are actually brought in from elsewhere. But anyway, brought in from elsewhere to be able to house them somewhere around the fire hall instead of at the football field or Singleton Park or wherever you can find a flat piece of ground.
Absolutely. And so that's, you know, we have used our lawn area. We have a little park there. We've used that to camp some guys in the past, but that is very limiting. Having another couple acres to add to that, now we can really help, and they can use that as base camp if they wanted to. So there's adds a lot of diversity to what we want to offer.
Arnold, you said obviously this is in the early stages, but do you have any timeline perhaps in mind of when you would like to see something beginning from a construction standpoint?
I would actually like to see the residential quarters even in 2019. So let's get an architect in there and look to be able to do that in next year.
I know that the district has recently purchased a generator to potentially be used in power outage situations, which may affect the community when it's cold.
Yeah, that's correct. And so we bought a large generator. We bought it used. It had 654 hours on it, and we got to see that it was tested to fully operate. And so this expansion, things that we're doing over there, they can also be covered in this generator, sufficient size. And it'd be nice that should we lose power in the wintertime, that there is a facility to house people in cold weather and inclement weather. So here's an addition. It'd be the first public access property in Manson that would be available for the public.
Let's flash back a couple of times. I distinctly remember the community of Manson being threatened by wildfire walking itself down the north shore of the lake. This happened more than once.
Which time?
Yeah, which time? You're right. There has been some, in the past, some times where the community was threatened, and had it not been for some orchards around, we probably would have lost some significant structures and whatnot.
Well, is 2002 Deer Point Fire, We had fire go around 60 structures in that fire. That's 16 years ago, and we're somewhere, we're all over double that, and so we're probably in the 150 structures in that same footprint today. That's pretty significant. So it's pay attention for us. We're seeing less and less orchards. The orchards are removed, and so there is less irrigated out there to provide barriers. So that's also another clue. And it's we need assistance from those landowners to provide defensible space around their homes and a home that is that can be protected. So we're trying to engage property owners that we can provide them a service, but if you know it isn't today's world that everybody gets a fire truck. There's 125 in that footprint from that. Well, I don't have 125 fire trucks. I've got 9, and so we've today's firefighting is to come in a few minutes, do some protection, and we're rolling out to the next one. So it's homeowners have got to have some self-protection. They've got to have some resistance and defensible space for that home to be survivable.
Arnold, there's really been a push of late, it feels like, to get the community more involved, more educated in terms, particularly areas that are in wildland fire vicinities like we are here in the Lake Chelan Valley. As a matter of fact, the Washington State Commissioner of Public Lands, Hillary Franz, has been doing a series of town hall meetings around the state, including here in Chelan, to talk about wildfire and forest health, amongst other things. Are you sensing more of a cooperative effort amongst agencies, communities, counties, and whatnot? And with that, and with all the information now that's trying to be gotten out to the public, do you think it's having an impact?
I do think it's having an impact, but to go back to the first question, am I seeing a cooperation? We have historically in this valley the best cooperation in the world, as I think between federal, state, and fire district partners, probably the best anywhere you'll find, because we've heard horror stories of elsewhere. So what I'm seeing is the political backing, and Commissioner Friends has done a great job. It's, you know, we got to see on Chelan Hills this year is that 6-acre fire, and it didn't take very long, and you had a DNR helicopter right there. And so that is going to be more commonplace, and that's kind of the level of commitment we're seeing from the state, because those air resources are really hard for fire districts. We have a policy at Fire District 5 that we can start out with aircraft, but it's always going to be a lengthy process, no matter how hard we try to get those aircraft launched, where the state can say, there's a fire, go. And that team, that helicopter is off and dispatched to the fire. So the time's critical. Having the politics dealt with ahead of time is really pretty important to get efficiency. And we're seeing the level of cooperation to get that efficiency.
Initial attack is the key. You talked about being able to get aircraft here as needed very quickly. Structure fires double in size every minute, I think it is. Statistically, I don't think fire generally does out in the wildland unless it's awfully damn windy. But if you've got an initial attack crew or somebody that can move quickly and get it knocked down before it's got a head start, battle's won.
That's success, is getting as much resources on it as possible in that early phase. So, yeah, we want to get as many of our partners engaged. What's interesting is part of the upper side, let's just say north side of Wapato Lake Road generally, is DNR mutual response zone. So I'm very interested in what the Washington DNR has partnered. But, you know, these are things that reach way back for many years as these mutual response zones. But we have fantastic people to work with that we can talk face to face and come to an agreement real quick and usually go into a unified command and things happen pretty quickly from then on.
Something I wanted to touch on was the use of volunteers when it comes to firefighting. This particular fire district's highly reliant on volunteers. You're recruiting all the time. You're wanting people to help out. In Chelan, there'll be more more reliance on volunteers, presumably with the failure of a recent vote by the people on supporting some of the professional firefighters. How much does this district rely on volunteers?
Well, I am the only career person, and I can't do it myself. So that gives you the clue. We had a discussion a couple years ago at a commissioner's workshop, and we kind of, you know, where are we going, and let's know what our plan is. So our plan is, in 20 years from now, we're going to be a volunteer department. Does a couple of things. Is to volunteers, they know where they're positioned. They're needed. They're expected to jump on the engine, get it going, and get that initial attack. So they know their position. They know that there isn't a career person. And so that drive to say, you're part of plan A, and that's a huge benefit, is to know what the plan is, the expectation of a response plan. Volunteers are needed. Now, we designed the program for is the needs of Manson, so fire and medical, is we need 40 volunteers. Well, every time we bump about 30, we get up about 30, we lose a couple of people, kind of decide. So we're still kind of in the 25 to 30. So we have some room to take on volunteers, but I think it's a great opportunity. Here's serving the community in an essential role. And this size of a community isn't going to have the ability to change going to career in my lifetime. So our plan, 20 years, is to still be a volunteer department.
And part of the attraction to be a volunteer department is the availability to have space for these people to live. Younger people who might be interested in exploring a career in professional firefighting one day, or people that are now maybe going to Wenatchee Valley College or something along that line and need a place to stay. Mom and dad are saying, hey, you're on your own now. Let's go find something to do. It's a logical step.
And so if you do the fire science or EMT program at Wenatchee Valley College, here is a resident station where they can gain experience, and we're taking the courses, coexisting with training and education together to get experience. And so we're going to provide that to the best of our ability. We have seen, since we started our program over there at Station 5-2 at staffing in 2010, call volume has doubled in 8 years. So, and most, that is, medical calls have doubled. Fire calls stay pretty flat. Different type of fire call, but the number of calls on the fire side is staying pretty flat. It's medical is where the need has really risen, and it's going to continue to rise as the number of people come in.
My observation is that the fire calls remain flat and will decrease because of the amount of building inspection, the requirements today to build things, and people's awareness that I'm living in an urban interface area and I need to help myself out here.
Call it fire prevention. We call it community risk reduction. And community risk reduction is everything from the old-fashioned fire prevention, but when you see a need, go fix it. Go help. Sometimes fire prevention is code changes. We saw that to fireworks, and so we're reducing the number of risks with fireworks. Fire advisory board is another thing that we're trying to look at the broader picture of risks out there, and so we change burn regulations on the big picture. But community risk reduction can be limiting falls for elderly people, because falls, broken hip, and broken hip can be a very serious and sometimes a life-ending, which is a preventable incident. So we try to help people with grab bars and to reduce risk there. That is community risk reduction. It reduces a call, but it improves the life quality of the resident, and that's the goal.
Arnold, you wear a lot of hats, and we've had a wide-ranging conversation here. You brought up the Fire Advisory Board, Chelan County Fire Advisory Board. You're the chairman of that. What does that all entail, and what is that board there for?
Fire Advisory Board is, okay, we'll pin it down to County Code Chapter 7.52, which is formerly the Fire Hazard Travel Activity Restrictions. So it is the travel restrictions and burning bans. Now it is just the fire hazard areas. So that is still the same code, and it went through another major modifications this year. Fire Advisory Board is representation for the Chelan County. It also includes Forest Service, DNR, each fire district, county commissioners, county fire marshal, fish and wildlife. Anybody with a fire risk is a member player, law enforcement, public works, because of the travel restriction. And so we take a good look at what the risk is to Chelan County, and we can change from, and as we did on June 1, we were in low and we went to a moderate. And so we're currently under a moderate restriction, so that closed burning. I was on the phone with Forest and DNR partners today, and that was the conference call to see, you know, do we want to look at changing, because we want the messaging to the public from the county, state, and federal, if we can keep the messaging consistent so that the public doesn't have to figure out, well, which jurisdiction am I standing on to know what the rules are. If we can keep the rules pretty close to consistent, whether you're on county, state, or federal, then it's pretty simple for the public to know what the restrictions are. So we're trying our best to cooperate and make those so the messaging can be clear and understood. But so with everybody's input, when do we change from one level to the next? And so we're, part of our discussion today is we're currently in a moderate. Do we want to go to a high? Is there anything? And we're currently not seeing that. We're going to reassess Monday, 2nd of July, just to know before the 4th, is do we want to change and look at the current weather conditions and expected weather? Do we need to change anything there? So we'll make that determination then, but right now things are looking pretty good. We've had a cooler weather pattern, and I think that kind of buys us some time. We don't want to change unless it's a risk to the public. But this is everybody putting their heads together. Everybody has input, and then when we agree and get a consensus, then we push that to the county commissioners, and the county commissioners can then pass a resolution to change that determination.
Good thing is, it sounds like that's set up to be a pretty fluid organization. In other words, you don't have to schedule a meeting a month down the road. You guys can get together on conference calls or email communication, whatever, and move pretty quickly.
The Fire Advisory Board, our number one contact is email. And so we just do, and I will usually, is my job as chair, is send out an email to say, how do folks feel about a moderate or a high restriction, and should we change? So it's been really nice to make it easy. People just reply back to the group, and we know consensus in just a few minutes.
All right. Well, Arnold, we thank you very much. Very interesting, and lots of information for you to pass along to us. We really appreciate that. We are wishing for you that it's a pretty quiet 4th of July.
Well, I would really appreciate that. I do enjoy getting to see the show myself, but I would advise the public, contribute to the public display. This is the community celebrating together, and if everybody chips in, then it makes it affordable, and we can keep this event getting larger, nicer. For our businesses, they get to enjoy some visitors coming in, and so the commercial side of it. This Manson Bay offers a really, really good venue for this display, and so it's the biggest event of the year for us.
Outstanding. Thank you very much, Arnold Baker, Fire Chief, Chelan County Fire District 5, Manson. We're going to come back, Steve and I, and we'll be wrapping up this week's edition of Making Waves in just a moment at LakeChelanNow.com. Conversation with Chief Arnold Baker today. Dennis Rom, Steve Bykwist. We hope you have enjoyed the program. Certainly, we want to wish a happy 4th of July to everybody. Make it safe and sane. And Steve, it's been fun as always, and we'll be looking forward to the next time around.
At I'm just really excited at the amount of money that was garnered at the auction, the support that the community has locally, the major sponsors that have stepped up, some lesser sponsors, including the Lakeland Boat Club with $500, by the way, helping out.
I told you.
Okay, so I got to plug in. That does it.
No, I knew I'd forget people. See, yeah, so I knew that would happen. Yeah, it's an outstanding thing. And we should mention before we sign off, Steve, that some people might be wondering, well, Manson, aren't there fireworks in Chelan? Yes, there will be, but they're on Saturday night, July the 7th. Because of the midweek holiday, the Chelan fireworks will be on the weekend. So you get another opportunity.
Two for the price of one.
There you go. Steve, thanks, bud. Catch you next time.
We'll do it. Make waves.
That's our show for this week. Thanks for listening, and remember, all weekly episodes of Making Waves can be found under the Listen tab on our website at lakechelannow.com. This episode has been sponsored by Campbell's Resort at Lake Chelan and by Chelan Realty.